The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
For mindfulness practice, we are utilizing our capacity to be aware. And awareness is quite a flexible, fluid phenomena, activity. And it can, in a sense, take different shapes. It can be utilized in different ways. And one of the ways that sometimes is very useful for meditators in particular to do is to have awareness be quite broad, like a large container, a receptacle that receives our experience, as opposed to a laser or an arrow that we direct towards things and kind of, you know, fixate on and appropriate or do things with. But rather that awareness is a little bit like the sky in that it's quite open and doesn't interfere with the birds and the clouds that go through, as opposed to being, you know, a thicket of jungle where you have to kind of use machete to get through. To keep the mind kind of open rather than claustrophobic or tight or preoccupied, to make space in the mind, to hold things. And awareness has the capacity to hold whatever comes into awareness. If there's space in the awareness, if space in the mind, if we have a lot of overgrowths of, you know, in the jungle, that can be very tight and claustrophobic, and some new thing arises and it just makes it even more crowded to make our way through. But if the mind is not crowded with thoughts and concerns and emotions and feelings, and is kind of seen as kind of a big container that can hold it or receive it all, then it's a lot easier to be equanimous, a lot easier to be non-reactive to the things that arise in that sky-like mind. So to think of awareness as a large receptacle, one of the interesting questions that sometimes is asked in these kinds of circles is, we're in this room right now, so are we in the room or is the room in us? Because there's a way of understanding that, of course, we're in the room, it's no doubt about that, but the experience of the room only occurs within, inside of our senses. We take the senses, take in the sights and sounds of what's going on in the room, and it goes into our brain and we reconstruct it into an image that we live by. And so is the room in us, or are we in the room? And if you think of it, if you think, kind of imagine the rooms the rooms in you, because awareness is so broad, or the mental processing is so big, and it's, you know, all encompassing. Then we start living in a more intimate world, a different kind of world than if we, the world's out there, and it's subject, object, and I'm going to, you know, relate to the world whatever way I relate to it. But if we have a sense that the world's in us, in this field of awareness, and if we have the capacity in that field of awareness to be non-reactive, non-judgmental, not to act from desires and aversions to what's there, but allow things just to be in the field of awareness, then it can be quite a delight, quite a profound thing to live in the world and be part of it and be connected to it. So one of the things that's required for this is to just to relax. You can't have a broad, open, big mind with a mind that's tight or tense or preoccupied. But as we relax, then to tune in to how we use our awareness. What do we do when we pay attention? What do we do when we're being mindful? Some people, there's a lot of doing. Some people, there's all the doing gets in the way of being relaxed and open and receptive to what's happening, allowing to what's happening. Some people are immediately judging what's going on. Some people are measuring themselves based on what's going on. Some people are trying to fix what's going on, or some people are trying to gain and get something. And not necessarily anything wrong with all those approaches, but more often than not, those approaches will constrict or narrow the scope of awareness, and puts us into a relationship with things, which is okay sometimes, but when if we're actively relating to what's going on, it's hard to kind of rest in a large, open, kind of receptacle-like awareness or mind, big mind. And so one of the ways that meditation instructions sometimes given is to practice in a non-judgmental way, non-reactive way. Whatever arises in awareness, make space for it, allow it to be there. Don't get involved in fixing or changing or being goal-oriented. Just let it all be there. And of course, some things shouldn't just be allowed to be. It's not like we're supposed to go around accepting everything. But some things need to be changed in our life. But it doesn't mean that we have to exclude them from the open awareness. So we might, with our hands, clean the counter because the counter is dirty, or wash the dishes because the dishes are dirty. But in our mind, the mind can stay open and unreactive, open and agitated by the dirty dishes we see there. There's a kind of come into the kitchen, dirty dishes, and the mind stays open and can receive that into this open, spacious mind. And then the wisdom says, you know, I think it's time to wash the dishes. So the hands wash it, but the mind doesn't, in a certain kind of way, is accepting or allowing or holds it all in a very open, broad way. So to allow the mind to be to receive experience rather than the maker of experience or the one responsible for experience or the one who reacts to the experience, just allow, is a very profound thing, because it allows for the deeper movements inside of us to unfold in their way. Our emotions, our thoughts that we have, many different things, our bodily sensations, our tension we have in our body. There's a lot of, the human system kind of moves towards homeostasis. It moves towards freedom if you get out of the way. And so it moves towards healing. And so to have this open awareness that receives and allows things to be there, allows the things that are there to unfold in the way they need to unfold. So if there are emotions that are bubbling up, the emotional piece of who we are, it kind of knows what needs to happen if we get out of the way and just allow it to unfold, you know, the tears to flow or whatever needs to happen. You know, the remarkable thing that the scientists are now saying, or psychologists are now saying, that emotions don't actually last very long. They only last a long time because we keep reinforcing them. But if we leave them really alone, they say it's something ridiculous. It's like they last a minute or something. And so what does that mean? Most of our emotions that last longer, we're involved in somehow. We're retelling the story, we're reacting to or something. So this receptacle open awareness is a very respectful thing for us, because it respects what's there and respects the natural unfolding that needs to happen of things. We get out of the way. And one of the reflections that I found useful is that who knows better what I need, myself or the Dharma? And generally the Dharma wins. Generally the you know, what is the deeper wellsprings of understanding, of processing, of healing, whatever that's kind of in the system here, has a better understanding of what's needed than my little mind can ever possibly know. The analogy I like to use is like, you know, if I cut my hand, I know it needs to heal. I'd like to get it to heal. If I then, with my little brain, little kind of thinking mind, start engineering the healing of my hand, I can't do it. The biochemical healing process, physiological process of healing, is an amazingly complex phenomena of, you know, with, you know, our whole, but our body knows how to do it. So, you know, the body knows how to create the antibodies and send the proteins and send more blood and make a scab, and, you know, it's a complicated thing that has to happen. So the body knows how to do this complicated engineering feat. Probably if humans don't even know all that's entailed, let alone, you know, knowing how to direct the show if we could. So just like we can't do that with, you know, the healing of the hand knows what to do. All your job is to keep it clean. Your job is to let the healing process unfold in the way that the body knows how. So many times for our psychology and our mind and our hearts, our job in using mindfulness is to get out of the way, to allow the process to unfold the way it needs to unfold. And so in this way, having awareness be receptive, have awareness be like I sometimes imagine like a large container, larger than the room here or bigger, that can hold it all, and whatever happens comes in. There's lots of room for whatever is going to happen. If I'm preoccupied and reactive and concerned and judging and trying to figure out and second-guessing what's going on, then it gets kind of claustrophobic and tight in my little brain, mind. And then the more claustrophobic it is, the less room there is for things to move and to unfold. But if I make the mind, the awareness, quite broad and spacious and open and receptive and allowing things to arise and all this space, there's lots of room, and I'm much less likely to take it as a problem. It's just stuff arising. But if a mind is crowded, claustrophobic, everything's a problem. Everything's too much. So, awareness doesn't have to be done as this big, spacious, open container. But if you've never experienced that, you might try. You might relax and try to open up and try experimenting with a receptive awareness that doesn't, not trying to make anything happen, but to receive, allow things to come in to you in the big mind. Okay. Thank you.